if you have a home to take care of and you're a mom with kids at home, then homemaker is part of your job description. However, in that homemaker role, we tend to treat it more like a home stager, that we are just putting everything in its place or attempting to, and we're always frustrated that we're not organized enough. That's usually our go-to. Like, the problem is I just need to be more organized. But we're going to go through a conversation today about this idea, and it's from the author of Simplified Organization, Learn to Love What Must Be Done. And she takes this concept of our struggle with organization and really its role in the life of a homemaker. And you guys are going to be so challenged today in like the most amazing way of getting all the practical things that we love here of what do we do, alongside of just the mindset piece and fixing expectations and just having this radical shift you didn't know you needed to fix about your idea of what everyday homemaking looks like, and to challenge your belief of the purpose of the home, and her sharing how our home is a tool for investing in people, and it's a space for our family to flourish, and how when you have that outlook, it completely changes the way you even just tolerate what happens in your home. But to go beyond that, of actually enjoying the function of your home and how to make it a place that your family flourishes and that you feel good in. So if you're ready to feel better in your home and not just feel like you're constantly struggling to stay on top of everything and you're just resentful every time your kids make a mess, this conversation is going to bless you so much. I cannot overstate it enough. I just truly believe this is what so many hearts need out there. And so I hope you are blessed today by all the practical and the mental components of this conversation. And awesome news is it's part one of two. So we're going to go into even more with her. But I am so excited to introduce Misty Winkler to you guys. Her book link and information for how to connect with her will be in the show notes. So please go connect with her. Get ready to recalibrate our view of our home and our role as a mom and a homemaker. My name is Julie Redmond, and this is the Mom Made Plans podcast. Here, we make mom life easier through practical strategies to get out of survival mode. Join me on this journey of intentional motherhood. Let's go. Okay, so I'm really excited to get into your book that you have, and it is called Simplified Organization, Learn to Love What Must Be Done. I really like this idea, and I would love to just kind of start us out with more about that title. And in the book, you define organization as being prepared to graciously handle life as it happens. And I love that. And the mindset of the purpose of organization, that it's not about just like the bins or dividers and hangers or whatever it may be, that there's more to it. So I would love for you to just elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah, I got married young. I was 19 when I got married, and I'm the oldest of seven. I was homeschooled, so like I helped with all the chores and all the things when I was growing up. And so I thought, coming into marriage and homemaking and all that kind of stuff, like I was ready. I was going to just totally nail it. And I was going to do it so much better than my mom, right? And like just totally level everything up and be the organized, you know, most organized person. I wasn't. It didn't work out that way. And so I actually spent most of my 20s just really struggling with wanting to be organized and trying to be organized and having things just not work. And I finally came to realize that what I wanted was control of the situation. Like when I worked to get organized, what I was trying to do was to be like the god of my home, ordering everything exactly the way I wanted, having everyone do things exactly my way. And then, like, as long as everyone did that and my plan, what I wrote down on paper happened, then I was happy. And if it didn't go according to the way that I wrote down and the way that I had set everything up, then the organization didn't work. I wasn't organized and I was not happy. And so, as I was confronted with this being actually a me problem and not an organization problem, that took several years and a lot of learning, a lot of reading, a lot of conversations with people. Because after I realized that I wasn't going to be that kind of organized that I thought I was supposed to be, that I wanted to be, I went for a while down the path of, well, then it doesn't matter at all. And so I'm not even going to bother trying. And that also is not a very good path. And so to like come to that middle ground of realizing like I am supposed to be working at doing my job well. And we use the word organized to describe managing our lives well. And that's okay. It's just we have to have a proper definition. And it doesn't mean completely controlling everything. And it doesn't really describe the aesthetic that we achieve or what how everything looks or how the situation is arranged. You know, it really doesn't look like Martha Stewart spreads. It looks like being able to handle your real life and not freaking out and even actually liking the work itself, which is why the subtitle is Learn to Love What Must Be Done. I did a lot of like trying to set up systems so that I didn't really have to do the work. I was like trying to avoid finding different strategies for avoiding housework or minimizing it or doing as little as possible. What finally worked was changing my attitude about my life, my homemaking, getting organized, and even the housework. And at first I didn't think that was possible. Like who could like some weird people like to clean house and I'm not one of those people, so I'm just going to have to find a different way. And it's like, no, actually, that's an attitude problem that I can fix and address and change the whole like atmosphere of our home and even trajectory of my life.
Oh goodness, there's so much in there and we're going to dive down those, but different aspects. But I love just talking about this idea of organization that can seem such like a small, like depending on how you view that, like literally just organizing objects or things. But we do use this as this massive label on like our worth and how well we're doing as a mom, because it's always like, oh, I'm not organized. It always comes back to that word. Organized. And so I love that you've kind of honed in on that we as women and moms have kind of claimed that word to carry so much weight over us. And yeah, to really get intentional on better defining what that looks like and through the viewpoint that it's not just what your home looks like when you walk in the door, but how it operates for you, that you can handle your life without feeling chaotic and disorganized. So that's huge, just for everyone to like sit with that for a minute of how much weight we put on one word on our life. And I want to actually jump into the control piece that you brought up, because that is a revelation I had myself. Just we have those divine God moments of speaking through, and I was like, convicted while driving about realizing, oh man, my root issue is control. This need to be organized and more productive and all that. We're always trying to make it work, figure out there's some way to make our schedule work better and stressing out when it doesn't perfectly go. And to realize that control is a piece of that. And I want to just read a sentence from your book about this that I thought put it well, like correlating the two. That being organized isn't about being in control, always having your ideas for your home and life and family work out. And that is what it boils down to. Like, we're just the organization is just a tool for us to be able to make everything happen the way we want to. So I'd love for you to elaborate a little bit of that on the control piece of usually we're frustrated and overwhelmed and resentful and all of that. And usually we're blaming our kids and our spouse on that when really, as you say, it's a me problem. So, yeah, what are your thoughts on battling the control piece?
Yeah, one of the things I like to say is the only kind of control we're supposed to have is self-control. And I know for me, at least, and a lot of others, that desire for control comes down to thinking that if my situation was different, then I would be different. And we really need to flip that around. And it's like, if I am different, if I am obeying God, if I am doing my work, if I am confessing my sin, if I am being right with the people in my home, then that's going to work itself out and look differently in my situation, and maybe not the way that's going to look good on Instagram or as if it was a magazine spread, but in better ways than that, actually. So if we start with ourselves, and how we're relating to the people in our house, which is really what our homemaking is about. And in today's, visually oriented culture, it's easy to assess by the look. I see the clutter, or I see the stuff, or my kitchen isn't very photogenic. My life isn't very photogenic. And so I would be happier. I would be more productive. I would be, just whatever defines a better person if I could just get things looking better around me. And so that might come down to decluttering, or getting the matching bins with like chalkboard labels, or, we just put our hope basically in the exterior pieces and parts, thinking that that will then work itself into us feeling better and doing better. And it actually works the other way around. Like, if we are ordered inside, then it's going to be natural to work that order out. So it's not that even, decluttering is bad or having matching containers is bad. It's just those are secondary things that work themselves out from inner order, and they really don't bring us peace or hope.
Yeah, that's true. Because, and I would even challenge a little bit that it can be like dual simultaneous sometimes. I feel like sometimes we need a visual win or like something that feels good to be like, okay, yes, this is the direction I need. Because, yeah, the visual chaos feeds into it, but you can't just rely on some pretty bins and be like, okay, great, check that box, I'm organized. Because if you don't do the inner work, of why you're doing it to begin with and what that goal is. So,
They do
yes, that
need to
is
work
a huge
together.
piece.
Right. Because sometimes we can also veer off and think like, well, if I just, do the inner work, if I, pray more, read my Bible more, do only interior things, then I can just let the house slide. And like, that's less holy. That matters less. So I'm going to ignore it. Like, I went through that phase also. And that ends up messing up how you feel inside, because then you're not being responsible. We are supposed to steward our things and care for things, and all the resources that we have are tools for serving others, for glorifying God. And I know, so one example of that was for me was making my bed. I tried to, I was a kid who never made my bed and had very good reasons why it was stupid to make your bed. And so finally, I'm like in my mid-20s, and I'm like, fine, to be organized, I will make my bed. And I would do the action, and my bed would be made, but I was not happy about doing it. I felt like I still felt like it was a dumb thing to do, and the habit never stuck. And it was only when I combined like the two things, like doing the right thing, which was making my bed, and actually recognizing that it was the right thing to do, because I was in my heart, in my mind, denying that it was actually going to work and that it actually mattered. And so when I realized, like, okay, this is, even though my bed is made, like there is more exterior order, I'm still fighting it inside. And I have to match my inside to the outside and say, you know what? Making my bed is just the right thing to do. I need to be humble enough to recognize that I'm the kind of person who needs to make her bed and just do the little things. And so I would make my bed and then stop because I had to replace the story. I'd grown up telling myself it was stupid to make the bed, and you can't just switch that overnight. I had to make my bed and then look at it and say, this looks nice. I am the kind of person who makes my bed now, and that's a good thing. And like 2 or 3 seconds, but it had to be a conscious decision to change my attitude about the little housework things. And it did make a difference.
Yeah, and that you never know what that one tipping point thing will be for you that may
Right.
seem so trivial, but for
Yes.
you, that is a big deal. So for you, it was making the bed. For someone else, it might be clearing off the table every day or whatever. You find the
Right.
thing and just tying everything back. I like the word steward because it is figuring out. It's like, okay, I'm seeing control as an issue here, but yet I am having to be very diligent and intentional and in doing these things, which can feel like controlling of our schedule. But it's that dual inside outside work, all like harmonious working together and being a good steward, that it's like the view is for the betterment of you as a whole person and your family and working through, and not just a dictatorship
Yeah,
control of like almost
right.
a representation of lack of control. You're just like
Yeah,
grasping at straws to be like, okay, we have to do this then and that then so that we survive the day. Like, it's a completely different from survival level control to peaceful control that is much more flexible and releasing. And yeah, so a huge shift. I also want to go, so like this whole piece of organization and managing our home is really what it is. The homemaker life, which I feel like that word has some connotations, not as prevalent these days, but like it is a homemaker title. You're a stay-at-home mom, you're a work-at-home mom, you're a home. Bottom line, you're home with kids a lot, and you have to take care of your home. And I'm gonna pull out one more quote just because this one was so good, from the book. But it's another one of these things of this sort of epitome of the control piece. It was the same with this homemaker. You had said, if our primary goal is keeping our home just so, then we're living as if we're home stagers rather than homemakers. And I feel like that goes back to the organization. We're just trying to stage everything and our
Right.
schedule and the control. Everything is just like we're trying to stage it, make it all good. And that was a nice little light bulb moment of like, oh, that's a good question for ourselves. Like, where's my motivation? Am I just staging my life and my home? Like, I would love for you to dig into that a little more of like, really, what is a homemaker and what that looks like?
Yeah, I think what is the purpose of a home? You have to know why we have homes, what a home is for, to be able to make it into a home, and then to be directing it and managing it and keeping it going in the right way, because our homes are tools for investing in people. And the home is for the people, not the people for the home. And tools get used. You have to clean a tool after you've used it. You know, if you think of it like an axe or something, you have to sharpen it for it to be useful. And you have to keep it out of the weather. Like you have, there's maintenance for tools for them to continue to be useful. But if all a tool ever did was hang on the garage wall, it would stay clean and it would be organized, but it's not doing what it's meant to be doing. It's not really useful. You don't really need it unless you're using it for its purpose. And so if people are in our homes and using our homes, then there's going to be mess. And so the mess isn't a problem. It is what we have to do and take care of, right? It's the maintenance part of caring for our tools. But the point of having a home isn't to have a place where no messes ever happen. That would be like the point of having an axe is to have it just hanging on the wall. People generate mess. There's laundry because people are wearing clothes, but you know what? It's really good for people to wear clothes. And there are dishes because people are eating. And it's a good thing that people are eating. If there were none of these things to do, it would be because there was no life being lived. And actually, one time I had a call with a lady in our membership in Convivial Circle. And she was saying that she realized she was picturing her homemaking and all the things she did in her home as setting up a dollhouse. Like she, in her mind, was playing dollhouse. And so when her kids would move or like do something that was not what she had planned, it was messing up what she was doing because in her mind, what she was doing was arranging a dollhouse. And that's not the way that we want to work because we want to be living life alongside of our kids and just living a life of building people up and growing people, ourselves and our kids, our husband, anyone else who, that we invite into our home. We want it to be a place where people flourish. And so there's going to be maintenance work like cleaning alongside of that. And that's because people are living life. And so we can rejoice in the life being lived.
Yeah, that's so good for shifting our mindset. 'Cause I know I can be, mine are older now, they're 9, but I'm still like this a little bit, but especially younger. It's just a constant like reset of like, yes, the dollhouse of it's getting messed up. And I'm like, oh, okay, I need to pick this up. And I've come a long way. And even just like getting dirty and outside, whatever, to just remember this whole concept of the home is the space for our family to flourish, and to question that every time you find yourself feeling like triggered or tense or whatever, to be like, okay, what's the point right now? Like, we can maintain the home, perform maintenance later, but in the moment, is this going to take away from my family flourishing, or is it going to add to it? And that's just a huge, like, question for ourselves to keep top of mind. Like, you guys, like, write this down, put a sticky note, put it all over the place. Like, is this going to help my family flourish right now? Like, do I really, yeah, figuring out the timing of when it's appropriate. Yes, we need to take care of our things and pick up and reset. But to remember, the primary goal is to live and live abundantly in our home. Really powerful shifts. And that ties in with just noticing, and that we talk about here a lot of self-awareness and noticing. And so being able to have a moment to pause and pay attention and ask yourself this quick little question in your head, and just noticing our impact on our home and our family, and also the space, because that is a piece of it. And so in the book, you kind of referenced this as well, which I thought was interesting, because it's always that thinking through the awareness of, okay, what am I doing right now? What am I feeling right now? How do I regain that composure? What are my kids doing? How do I bless them and like nurture them right now? But then also your space of like noticing the impact on the space around you. And I know you had sort of a little epiphany moment there as well, with like noticing, not like victim mindset of like, ugh, this, I just have to deal with this house, and it's always like got issues I have to do. Yeah, what does that noticing look like for our home?
I mean, there are all kinds of aspects to that, and it can come up. I think it comes up in the little things so often, and we look for like the big significant issues or problems, or we want some kind of big massive change in ourselves or our home or both. And change comes through the little steps and the little things. Like my example with my bed, part of the reason why I was so resistant there is it didn't seem big enough to matter, right? It was just, it only took a couple minutes. It was in the room that only my husband and I saw. I was like, it didn't feel like it mattered enough to care about. So for me, anyway, I had to put it in terms of humility, being humble. And like, actually, the little things matter. So you start with the little things. And then as you put your time and attention in the little things, one, they do add up to something much bigger. But also, the little things are the big things. Like, the little things turn out to be often the very significant things worth putting our time and attention into. And, you know, it could be as, you know, little as smiling at your kid when he walks, you know, in the door. Like, it's a little thing that you might not even think about putting on your to-do list. I've put it on my to-do list before. Like, the little things are often the things that have the most impact over time. And so the small faithfulness in the little daily things build a life much more than kind of the massive overhaul change, which I spent a lot of time trying to make strategies and systems and plans, putting a whole, you know, big thing together. And it what really made a difference over time was making my bed, smiling at my kids, putting dinner on the table, even if it wasn't like this elaborate meal planning total life system. I was like, no, just dinner, actually, and then do the dishes after. It's not elaborate. Spending 10 minutes in the afternoon cleaning up. A huge part of it for me has just been recognizing how much you can get done in 10 minutes and even actually using a timer, because we either overestimate how long something is going to take and then we put it off because, like, well, I don't have that much, I don't have enough time to clean the kitchen. That's a massive job. It's like, well, how about you just spend 10 minutes cleaning the kitchen, and a literal 10 minutes? Like, stop. You have to stop when the timer goes off. And then you look around and it's like, oh, well, it's not a totally clean kitchen, but it's so much better. I didn't think I could make that much difference in only 10 minutes. And those instances of recognizing that our time and our attention and energy is making a difference is what helps us build that momentum and traction. And so, like, stopping and just looking around and saying, hey, I did that. Because we spend so much time, our default mode, I think, as moms is to look around and notice all the things that we aren't doing. And so then, like, that list of things that we aren't doing grows and grows, partly because that's where we're putting our attention. And then that feels overwhelming. It is overwhelming. Like, we're not ever going to actually get to all those things that we're noticing need to be done. And so then we start stepping back and say, well, it's not possible. So, like, why bother trying? And this feels like an impossible job, and we're frustrated and sad and it's hard. But a big part of that is, where is your attention? Are you, what are you focusing on? And if we focus on our kids laughing together at the table, if we focus on, you know, the fact that the dinner dishes mean that we ate together, if we just put 10 minutes in one small area that's bothering us and then step back and just take 2 or 3 seconds and say, hey, I made this better. We're going to notice, like, oh, I bet I could put 10 minutes there and make that better. And we're noticing that we are effective and fruitful, and that will increase our energy and our joy and our gratitude.
Yeah, for sure. The that shift, because otherwise I think overall our whole day, it feels like we're reacting and everything is a job that we have
Yeah.
to do, that we have to deal with the kids, with the kitchen, with the bed and the laundry, all the things that we're just constantly trying to keep up and do all these things. But if we notice it in a different way and in a different light, and I had recently heard about the idea of just like lighting up when your loved ones walk in the room, like your idea of smiling. So thank you for the reminder. I love that so much because it's one little thing that makes such a big difference. So it's like if your job of like, oh, the kids get home from school or wake up from a nap and it's whatever, like to be like, okay, that's my opportunity to just the first thing they see is me smiling at them and showing gratitude that that is your mindset around that time scenario. Or like all these little pieces in your home, all the little steps, it's like you're slowly polishing something and making it look better and better. And just to realize that's what's happening. That's our goal of just adding all those little pieces. So I love that it's noticing how we can make an impact in our home and in our family in all these little intentional ways and not just feeling like, yeah, it's so much that we have to completely overhaul, like everything's sparkly white. Nothing has ever existed in this home like 5 minutes ago. Yeah, just a complete change and back to remembering that you had said our homes are tools for investing in people. So I just want to bring that quote that you said earlier. You need to put that everywhere because that's so good. But just realizing that that's what it is, like reframing our view of our job as a mom, as a homemaker, of what an organized home looks like, what all of this that it comes back to remembering. Yeah, it's just a tool. It's just the core goal here. Going back to my thing of facilitate, the core goal, you guys, is to just live abundantly with our family and have everyone flourish. And so, whatever all these little pieces of homemaking look like to support that, that it's more stepping stones to this great goal that we're going towards. Not like weights on our back that we're having to carry. And so I love this whole journey, really, that you have gone through and shared to help us navigate this homemaker life with more joy and less overwhelm and stress and feeling chaotic. There's so many good points in your book, but is there anything else that you feel like needs to hit home or like a starting place if we're sitting here being like, yeah. I feel disorganized. I feel like this ridiculous pressure for everything to be perfect and pristine. And I do have some control issues, I think, like just working through all of this, like, okay, take a breath. Like, where do we go?
Yeah, the first thing I always recommend is I call it an alignment card, but it's finding some quote or truth or goal, like something like the only kind of control we're supposed to have is self-control, or the point of homemaking is for our families to flourish. You know, something that just reminds you of the truth and the direction that you want to go. Put that on an index card, you know, a neon index card or a post-it note, and put it right at eye level on your bathroom mirror, or put it right at your kitchen sink where you see it. And we need to get out of our heads and notice what we're thinking. And one way to do that is to put intentional thoughts in your head by just having truth everywhere, that then you can see it and remember to, like, that's what I'm thinking. And that is, it's super simple, it's easy, it's cheap, and it works to change our thought patterns.
Awesome. I love it, you guys. Sticky notes. Put them up, literally. This isn't like for real. Put
For
some
real.
things up. And we always say these things. It's like over and over again. It's the simple little things that we feel like aren't, as we've talked about, aren't big enough impacts.
Right.
No, literally write the sticky note and put it up because you're like, yeah, that's good. You're listening and you're like, uh-huh. But no, for real, go do that because that's how we get the shift that goes beyond this little 30 minutes that you have listened and you're feeling like, yes, well, an hour from now, it's going to have faded. And a day from now, it's going to have super faded away. So we need those reminders to help us stay on path. Wow. So Misty brought so many nuggets of wisdom in this conversation. And come back next week because we will dive into more specific routines. So we're going to get into that. But for now, your intentional step for today is to do those sticky notes, to re-listen to this episode and write down some of those key takeaways that you're hearing that kind of stand out to you. Write those down on a sticky note and just put them around and figure out which ones are popping out at you the most and really make those prominent. That's how we make those little shifts she was talking about. It's those little moments that add up. And so I really want you to go grab, if you don't have sticky notes, whatever paper, whatever you need to do to write down these takeaways. So go back and re-listen, write some takeaways and hang those up and then see the difference that just seeing those every day can help encourage you and keep you on path that you're feeling confident you're going in the right direction and that you're making the progress that you want to. And if you want to go ahead and dive into everything that Misty has to talk about for simplified organization and homemaking, then check out her book. It is amazing. I got to preview a lot of it, and you can find that in the show notes.